This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, hour number two. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Meanwhile, we are also brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. So 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. We'll have Adam Schefter up here in just a minute to join us and talk some NFL with you. But before we do that, before he joins us, let's take Bill in New York real quick. Hey, Bill.
Hey, what's up? I just wanted to make the point that Alex Smith is equivalent to Eli Manning without the championships.
Ah, what do you think of that, Bart?
That's interesting.
Alex Smith equal
that's interesting.
Eli Manning.
I would think that maybe you would say Philip Rivers is equal to Eli Manning without the championships.
Yeah.
I think Eli, you have
is
to
Is he trying to say
respect.
Eli's a game manager? Is that
that's
kind of what he's trying to say
that's
there.
That's basically what he's saying. Yeah. I don't know about that one.
I'm not sure either, but he waited on hold to say that, so we gave him that opportunity. All right, Adam Schefter joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Schefter, how are you doing today?
What's going on, guys?
All right, well, let's begin with today's news of Trey Lance and his second pro day, and we're seeing, obviously, all these extra pro days, obviously probably part of the COVID protocol idea that you can't bring guys in, so you have pro days. Do you find it interesting, or maybe what should we make of the fact that it's the 49ers who are scripting this pro day?
Well, again, there's a relationship between John Beck, who Kyle Shanahan coached in Washington, and John Beck working with Trey Lance, and the 49ers obviously have a lot at stake with Trey Lance because they need to make a judgment, a decision on him before they decide to do what with the number three pick. Look, Trevor Lawrence goes one, Zach Wilson goes two, Niners on the clock. They trade up a lot of draft capital to go get him. And so they are doing their work on Mac Jones, Trey Lance, Justin Fields. And so today's Trey Lance's turn, and the 49ers get the first say. So they're taking an active role.
You know, this football team in the San Francisco 49ers was a Super Bowl caliber team. They just had injuries last year. So doesn't it make more sense for Trey Lance to be the project where you believe that Jimmy G can get you back to a Super Bowl and you don't have that pressure if Jimmy G struggles by having a guy that we know isn't ready to play, you know, in year one?
You know, Bart, what I would say is it's whatever they want. I mean, you could say, doesn't it make more sense for Trey Lance? Under what grounds? Like, what if Trey Lance doesn't make it in the NFL? What if Mac Jones or Justin Fields is the quarterback that goes on the show? Look, here's the bottom line. The chances are that all three of them are not going to make it. The chances are probably one or two of them will hit, one or two will miss. And I don't know whether that's Trey Lance or Justin Fields or Mac Jones, but that's what the 49ers are charged with here. And so they've got to figure that out. I don't agree with that. Like, doesn't Trey Lance make the most sense because he's the most up? No. The guy that makes the most sense is the guy that they believe is going to be the best quarterback. How many times have we heard that? I mean, I go through every draft. I remember scouts saying Robert Gallery, safest pick in the draft. Right? And the Raiders took him at number two or three. And then if you go and look at the next pick, I think it was Calvin Johnson. So whoever's the best player, we don't know who that is.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's Trey Lance. I don't know that it's Mac Jones. I don't know that it's Justin Fields. And I'll say this. They've done a lot more work on it than I have or we have. And they're going to continue to do a lot of work on that. And I think they know right now they have a pretty good idea what they have in Justin Fields and a pretty good idea what they have in Mac Jones, and now they're taking a look at Trey Lance today.
And when you bring up the odds, right, as we've seen the history of the draft, and we know like all these players come into the draft and they all have that same kind of background and all that same kind of potential that we talk about. In the scenario that they have though this year, and I think we've discussed this before, but as you talk to team officials, is this so much harder because you have to make that tough decision and there are multiple quarterbacks to choose from, that when you're in the top four and you can't meet and sit down and have what you used to do preparing for the draft, mm-hmm. So you have these second pro days, how much more difficult, how much more pressured are these guys feeling to get this right?
I don't think they're feeling any more pressure to get it right. But I think the circumstances surrounding it are more challenging. And if we go back and look, Trey Lance is a guy that didn't play college football last year at all. Basically hasn't played in 500 days. You're now making a judgment on a guy who may be an all-pro quarterback, who may wash out. Again, we don't know. But they have less evidence, less of a body work to judge him by. I have no idea what Trey Lance has done in the last year and a half. I have no idea whether he's grown, regressed, improved. I have no idea. They don't either. And so they've got to take a look at it. The pressure is the same. You know, you've got a top pick, and especially if you trade up, you better hit on it. That's always the case. That was the case in 2018 for the Browns at one, the Jets who traded up to three, the Bills who traded up to seven, the Cardinals who traded up to 10, the Ravens who traded up into the back end of the first round. You better hit. If you don't, you set back the franchise. But they don't have as much recent data to judge Trey Lance on. Or you know, no combine for Justin Fields, no combine for Mac Jones. Fewer in-person visits, Zoom calls, just the circumstances surrounding it. And again, I go back to 2018 because I think it's a pretty good gauge for what we're looking at right now. Just go back to the guys that were picked in that draft. Baker Mayfield, 1. Sam Darnold, 3. Josh Allen, 7. Josh Rosen, 10. Lamar Jackson, 31 or 32, I don't remember. Of that group, Baker, I'd say Baker is a hit, right? Like, probably a good player, right? Sam, jury's still out on. Josh, hit. Josh Rosen, miss. Lamar Jackson, hit. Right, so we got 3 hits, 1 maybe, 1 miss. So, again, if we just use those percentages, the 49ers, of the 3 guys that they're looking at, and by the way, I'd put Zach Wilson in this category. Okay, it's not like he's a sure thing. I think he's got tremendous potential, tremendous talent. That's not in dispute, but of those guys, put Zach Wilson, put Trevor Lawrence in for all you want. You got 5 quarterbacks. Of those 5, like I said, 3, 4 of them will hit.
Yeah, that's
one of
them.
2 of them will miss.
Right.
Hey,
we're going home.
Hey, Adam. You know, today Alex Smith retired, and you covered him for 16 years. But it's kind of tough to kind of figure out what his legacy was. You know, I mean, he was the number 1 overall pick. What do you think his legacy is to you after, you know, you've covered him for 16 years and what he fought through to get, you know, to finish up last year?
Well, the biggest thing is the injury that he overcame to get back. That's an injury that would have ended the careers of most anybody who endured it. But beyond that, the perseverance part, that to me is above and beyond what typifies his career more than anything else. But beyond that, as you mentioned, Bart, number 1 overall pick. Guy picked ahead of Aaron Rodgers in a draft. Many expected Aaron Rodgers to go on to become the number 1 pick. Became a role model for young Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. And if you ask Patrick Mahomes right now what Alex Smith meant to his career, you would get an effusive answer of praise, which, by the way, would not be the answer that a lot of young players give about veterans who are in front of them. I mean, you've seen it up close. I've seen him close. Some older people, older players, take the job of being a mentor seriously and do it incredibly well. Others go the other way, and they make life difficult for that particular player. Alex Smith was a model for how he handled himself for Patrick Mahomes. So you've got a guy who was the number 1 overall pick ahead of Aaron Rodgers, a guy that held the throne in Kansas City and warmed it up for the guy he was nurturing to replace him in Patrick Mahomes. And you've got a guy that overcame a life-threatening, a life-threatening injury. Let's be clear, not a life-ending injury or a career-ending, a life-threatening injury. And so when you do all that and have that kind of career, you get all the respect that he has gotten, which is all deserved.
Adam Schefter joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio. Trevor Lawrence had a cover story on SI last week that had a lot of quotes in it that created some reaction. He had to go, or he decided to go, I shouldn't say had to. He chose to go to social media over the weekend to clarify some of the statements about whether or not he had a great passion for winning or for the game. Did you notice any reaction around the league to those comments, or is that just mostly a media thing that we all just got hyped about it, but most people don't take that seriously?
Well, it generated a lot of reaction. And obviously, he got a lot of blowback because he felt the need to respond to it. Now, I know the writer who wrote the piece. He's an incredible writer, Michael Rosenberg. And there's not a mean bone in his body. So he's just taking the quotes for what they were, which were very matter-of-fact. You know, here's a guy in Trevor Lawrence that has had so much success everywhere he's been. And I think he's just quietly confident that he'll continue to have more. And his life, in his mind, is broader than just football. What's wrong with that? But I had one GM call me this morning. He's like, I feel so bad for these kids right now because this is what this draft process is every year. What it is just a process to take them apart for the weeks leading up to the draft. So you question them medically, physically, psychologically. That's what it is. That's what this process is. And so the draft for those players and for the teams that are evaluating them, I can tell you, can't get here soon enough.
I think for all of us, we feel that way because there was a point last week where we heard takes from different analysts who thought he might not be the best quarterback in this draft. And I think once we reached
Trevor
that
Lawrence?
We were hearing from some analysts.
I've heard that. I've had people tell me. I had Chris Sims on my podcast last week. He said he believes, you know, Zach Wilson has a brighter NFL future than Trevor Lawrence. Whether he does or doesn't, we'll see. And by the way, as I told Chris on the podcast, that is not the first time I've heard that. I had somebody, a coach in January, tell me he thought if he had the number one pick, he'd rather pick Zach Wilson than Trevor Lawrence.
Wow.
Is he right? I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but again, there are people who feel that.
Yeah, I bet that
general manager's
not
as many.
Not close,
I think more people feel Trevor Lawrence has a brighter future. Let's be very clear, right? But, we don't know how this is going to work out for any of these guys. I come back to that point again.
Mm-hmm. That's, I think, when you know it's gone.
Yeah. I'm so happy the finish line. I'm so happy we can see the finish line, man. We keep putting these stuff
in. No, we heard Sims on your podcast, and it just that was definitely one. And here's the best thing, though, and I love that you did this, is you outlined the fact that this isn't Chris Sims just going hot take. You went back and said what he said in 2018, what he said in 2019, what he said in 2020 about each of the quarterbacks. So he's got a track record of being right about these quarterbacks.
Chris Sims, to his credit, said that in the draft leading up to 2007, he had Mahomes ahead of Trubisky and Deshaun Watson, which most people, I can tell you, did not.
Right.
He had Josh Allen ahead of Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Josh Allen ahead of Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, and Josh Rosen, which most people did not. Last year, he had Justin Herbert ahead of Tua. And now he's got Zach Wilson ahead of Trevor Lawrence. And by the way, maybe he's right.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's wrong. We don't know. But that's the great part about this. And a lot of it will have to do with the organization that the player goes to. What's inside. There's so much that goes into this.
Yeah.
But that's why, Bob, when you say, well, Trey Lance should be the pick, he's got the other. Well, we don't know that. Mm-hmm. How can you just say that?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the perception of who he is and the player he can become. But maybe he's never going to grow into that potential. Maybe he will be Patrick Mahomes. If he's Patrick Mahomes, then I don't care whether he's going to sit next year or play. Then that's the pick, period. But we don't know that.
Yeah, it's all about, to me, the draft is, and it's. I feel this way about the NBA draft, too, especially the lottery. It's about situation, location, and education. Mm-hmm. Can you be coached? Where are you? Where's that franchise right now? And also, obviously, what situation are you in when you get there as far as they need you to be great or you can work your way up? So much of that is factored into how good you're going to be. I just hope this, Shefty, that Chris Sims is right again this year only because the Jets pick at number two and they expect to take Zach Wilson. So I'm just hoping he's right again because if he is, I'll be very happy about that.
Well, if Chris Sims is right, then the Jets fans will be very happy.
Yes.
And again, he explained it. And to your point, that's the thing. You know, I posted on Twitter the link to the podcast. And some people are like, oh, hot take, you know, clickbait. No, listen to what he says.
Yeah, it all right? and the track record, too, is the most important part. If you know he's got the resume, then you take it a lot more serious, and that's what we did. All right, Shefty, thanks so much for your time. It's always great to catch up with you.
You got it, guys. Have a great day. Hopefully we'll see you soon.
You got it. All right, that's Adam Schefter giving us a Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
We always get him washing
doing
dishes.
Doing the dishes.
We know his chores. We always get him washing the dishes. He's old school, too. He's not putting them in the dishwasher. He's busting them suds.
That's not the first time that's happened, right? Well, we've been talking to him. We probably caught him during lunch. He finished up lunch. That's nice of him to join us for lunch, though.
I appreciate it. You know,
right? As everybody else is joining us for lunch, too, on our show.
You know, he lives this stuff year-round. You know, but, you know, back to my point about Trey Lance. Why I'm saying Trey Lance, if I'm a quarterback whisperer, if I'm a molder of talent, I'm looking at this raw piece of clay, and I'm saying I think that he has the highest ceiling. So if he has the highest ceiling, he has the more natural tools, right? He has a bigger arm. He has the mobility.
But doesn't that go back to what I said about location, situation, education? If he's got the potential to be better, he's got to be in a place where that can happen.
But that's the thing. Every place that he's linked to is a perfect situation. Going and play for Arthur Smith, perfect situation.
Falcons,
I think he may be the best player out of this draft because I don't see him going to a bad location. Okay, at worst, he's going to New England. Oh, I'm sorry, that's the consolation prize. You get to go with Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick. If not, then if Chicago move up, he'll be out of the league in 2 years. But if he goes to San Francisco.
You could say the same thing if he goes to the Jets.
If I'm saying San Francisco and I'm looking at what they already have in place and saying that, hey, you're going to be given the key. If I'm a young player.
So Jimmy G becomes Alex Smith. He's kind of the placeholder.
Yes.
And he'd have to also be willing to, in the quarterback room, teach.
See, but I don't care if he teaches because I'm Shanahan. I'm a quarterback whisperer. So I'm going to do the molding. I don't need – matter of fact, Jimmy G, you don't even talk to him because he might get hurt because you always hurt. So I tell you what, I'm going to do all the talking to him. You don't even talk to him. You know what I'm saying? He's going to sit right next to me. So that's what I'm saying. If I'm them, I'm going Trey Lance because I think that he has the more natural skills, and that's really Shanahan betting on himself. I'm not going to get Mac Jones. Mac Jones is who he is. He ain't going to be too much better. Like you go to Alabama, you get a pro-style coaching up. So all the things and the imperfections and throwing motions, all that stuff, that's already been coached out of him, right? How to manage the game, that's already been coached out of him.
Okay.
Like Trey Lance is showing you that he's just raw and he has all these ability, and you should be able to get that out of him.
But in some places, what you're saying about the 49ers, I understand that. But again, you don't want to have to rush him. The beauty about Patrick Mahomes with Andy Reid is that they took time and they bought time.
Right.
They were able to buy that time because – there wasn't this pressure of, whoa, you traded up to get this kid. You better play him. Yeah. It's like, no. We know what we're doing here, and then we'll unveil him at the end of the season in the last game just to give you a little tease about what's coming. Yeah. And everybody understood, this is why you do that. But there are some places that are – and you mentioned Chicago. I think the Jets are the same thing. You can't take him in with the Jets. You can't take him in Chicago.
Of course not.
Because it's immediately the anointed next one. He better be great, and he might not be ready yet. But he could be. He's the kid you got to put in the slow cooker, not the microwave.
And just so everybody know out there, I said that Josh Allen too, to the Jets. That's who I said they wanted. And I was right with Becton.
Huge
as well.
Fan of his.
And I was with Becton as well.
Yeah. By the way, he just celebrated a birthday yesterday. This
I know,
weekend,
man.
But I was the same way about Josh Allen. I didn't know it would be what he became. Now again, that took some time, certainly as well, but. This I love what Shefty also said because it is something to acknowledge and I had to bring up, which is why I said about location, situation,
always.
Education. You could say what you want about a prospect, but if he goes to the wrong place,
of course,
he could be ruined.
Of course.
He could be ruined. And that's what we don't know about Sam Darnold because we don't know if Sam Darnold was just ruined by bad coaching.
Oh, he wasn't ruined.
We don't know. He might now, like Ryan Tannehill, he could have now a renaissance in Carolina, and you're hoping to see it. Certainly Carolina is. Yep. But the point is that we don't know about these guys because we don't know what they're stepping into and how it could affect them. And so we'll see again in this draft. But what we know, Trevor Lawrence won, and Chris Sims says Zach Wilson is better. And if you're a Jets fan, that's exactly what you want to see happen. All right, coming up, we have audio files. We have your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, and Bart now has this from Zip Recruiter.
Good news, baseball fans. You'll be allowed to attend games this season where you sit in pods with your group, and businesses everywhere are making the gradual shift towards normalcy, too, which means more hiring. That's where ZipRecruiter comes in. ZipRecruiter matchmaking technology finds people with the right experience for your job and invites them to apply. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter gets a qualified candidate within the first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free only on ZipRecruiter.com/Bart. That's ZipRecruiter.com/BART. I'll say it again because I like hearing my name. BART. Call ZipRecruiter. Get some damn employees. I'll holler. We'll be back after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Han.
I'm Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. Brought to you by, or presented by, Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number, so we'll get to some calls as we do. We usually end the show on calls and different takes and whatnot. So stay with us. Tweets at Bart and Han, Twitter and Instagram as well. And check out on my Instagram, AhanMSG, there is a highlight, and I thought it was great. I'm still trying to – I don't know who exactly did it because I want to give proper credit. But there's a highlight video of last week's shows from Bart and I. It's about like 2 minutes long, minute and a half long, and it's all like just moments throughout the show that you could see if you have ESPN Plus. And if you don't, ESPNplus.com, and you can sign up for it. But it's fun. It's pretty cool, and you can check it out. So please do that. And we're working on merch, right, Bart?
We're getting that.
Working on some
merch. We're getting that.
All right, we're getting that.
We need y'all to come out and just bam, bam, bam. We might, you know what I'm saying, start giving them out or something, you know what I mean? You get a call of the day. You come in with some hot fire calls, you know what I'm saying? Maybe we might find a one or two or spare, you know what I'm saying? But listen, we're going to need y'all to be ordering these often and start representing, then tweeting us back, and
that's
then
right.
You got to tag us, all that good stuff.
Like different places you are in the country.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And you just tell us where you're from. Like we do that thing where it's roll call. Like when you call and we tell
you.
Like we love hearing from different people all around the country.
We need
so
that.
Even better if you take a
the
picture
logo,
of yourself wearing some
is
of
too
our
good,
gear.
Man. The,
I know,
the
it's too
logo's too good.
We got to share.
Like,
we got to share. We'll be outside your stadium just selling them.
That's
we're going to have to start it that way, out of the trunk.
Exactly.
Isn't that how all great companies start that
and
way?
And this is how it works, right? If y'all come to us and y'all talk about, hey, we want a discount, you know what I'm saying? So, like, let's say we sell them for $20, right? Mm. And you're like, oh, man, I got 15. We're going to cut your sleeves off. If you say, okay, well, you know what? I only got 5. We're going to make it a halter tie. We're going to cut the waist off and the sleeves off. So you figure out what you're willing to pay. Exactly. You figure out what you want to pay for.
We'll certainly see from there. All right. But right now, as you're part of the show, it's time for us to step back and let the headline makers make the headlines.
Audiophiles already?
Yeah, already. Let's do it. Audiophiles. Which is not yet sponsored, but we'll say it's brought to you by My Computer Career Training for a Better Life, because why not? So we were talking about this with Adam Schefter just a few minutes ago about, you know, the sure things in the draft. What's the matter?
Never mind.
You got upset about something?
I just gotta alert something just happened. A little breaking news, but don't worry about it.
Talk
about it. Yeah, it's crazy.
You want to do it right now? I can hit it right now.
Can't wait.
Shaking his head right now.
So it came in, you know, Aldon Smith, who had his demons. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Fought his way back, had a good season after being off football for like 4 years.
Yep.
Got signed by the Seattle Seahawks.
Yep.
Wanted by Louisiana police. But come on, man. Remember, he's a guy that was drunk and hit like five parked cars.
Do we know what?
I couldn't even get it through.
All right.
I just saw Alden Smith, Louisiana police. It's like, come on, son. Come on, son.
All right, keep an eye on that story. Meanwhile, as we were talking about, Adam Schefter, we were talking with him about the sure things when it comes to quarterbacks. And as he said, there is no sure thing. You know, that just it depends on the situation where they go, as we know with these quarterbacks. But Matt Miller, ESPN's NFL draft contributor, was on KJZ this morning, and he said there is one sure thing in this draft.
If I had to bet on one guy being electric for 10 years, it's Kyle Pitts, tight end, offensive weapon, do it all from Florida because of his size, his speed, the production that he had in college. Now, there are a lot of good players in this class. Ja'Marr Chase from LSU, Penei Sewell, the tackle from Oregon. A lot of really good non-quarterbacks. But if you had to take one who really stands out from the crowd, I think it is Kyle Pitts, just by virtue of, I mean, he's 6'6", 245. He ran a low 4.4. Worst case scenario, you get him in the red zone, he's going to be a matchup problem for defenders. There are not very many defensive backs in the NFL who are equipped to cover someone like that. So if you had to take one non-quarterback and say either a rookie of the year candidate or, as you said, Travis, someone who's going to play for 10 years to be highly productive, I think Kyle Pitts is the best bet.
You agree with that?
Yeah, but that Ja'Marr Chase dude, man, looking at what Jefferson did in the league, almost setting a rookie record, breaking Randy Moss' record last year, and he's the much better player because he didn't play, could have more impact. You know, you're talking about 1,400, 1,200 yards of productivity.
Depends on who's throwing to him.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, right? That's true. I guess the same could be said for Kyle Pitts, too. But, you know, that people are really excited about what he can be as a tight end. And I know it's a tight end. Like, it's, you know, it's a position.
It's a matchup problem.
It's a position that you need only when you have other positions filled, right?
Exactly.
Like, and so that's what whoever does get him is going to get a player. Let's be honest, right? So when you think sure thing, when whoever does take him, they're going to get a guy that's ready to play in the league. At least that's what all the experts say. All right, back to the NBA we go. As we talked about Zion Williamson. Now, what he said about playing at MSG and all that stuff, yeah, obviously that caught everybody's attention. But you know what else caught my attention? This is a player now, right now, this season. In his second year, he's averaging 26.8 points a game. So basically 27 points a game, 7 rebounds, almost 4 assists, shooting 61% from the field. Now, he can't shoot a 3. I mean, have you ever seen a guy who looks so fluid, so athletic, and then when he takes a 3, he looks like when Elaine tries to dance on Seinfeld? Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
Like, how does that happen? Right? All of a sudden, you just look so awkward, but I'm sure they'll work on that. But he's having just a fantastic season now that they're running the offense through him.
Going for it.
And so before yesterday's game, which was at 1 o'clock start on ESPN, Malika Andrews had a sit-down interview with him, and she asked a great question, and the answer really caught my attention. It was really, so who, as you're in this role now, are there players that you watch that you try to emulate and say, I can be like that player in this role? His answer caught my attention and any old head's attention. I know it, Bart, that you're going to love one of the names that he mentions here.
When it comes to that, you know, I'll go watch, like, you know, Magic, Mike, when he ran point guard for a little bit, Isaiah Thomas. You know, I look at old school players because they were competitors. They just wanted to win, like, no matter what the cost was. So, like, I love going back and watching them.
They were competitors.
Yeah.
They wanted to win. He talks about the old school players.
You had me at Zeke.
Right, I knew you'd love that he said Isaiah Thomas. But the way he talked about that, the game from that era, 80s, 90s, and he goes to YouTube and watches video
he just watched
of those games.
30. He just watched 30 for 30. He watched Tap Tap. He watched the Showtime with the
what does Celtics. That say,
and, you know what I'm saying?
I like that about
that
him.
He loves good productivity,
mm-hmm.
production.
He also loves maybe that idea of just like whatever it takes to win.
Yeah,
now his
at
team.
All costs.
Didn't do whatever it took to win yesterday, and that had obviously Stan Van Gundy upset. But still, I kind of love that answer.
Well,
you know, it didn't feel like a forced answer either.
Right, just the appreciation of the history of the game. And sometimes, you know, the history of the game, you don't want to watch the guys that are playing now. You want to see how the game got here. And you, like
yep.
you said, like you said,
well
like when you look at the older players, and you know they were more complete, right? I say that these guys are faster, stronger,
yep.
but you think about the game, you know, they had fundamentals. Everybody played pretty much good defense. Everybody knew how to shoot. Everybody knew how to shoot a bank shot, right? Everybody knew how to make floaters. They had a floater. They had an array of shots, right? So, like, now guys can shoot the three or they can dunk or they can get to the basket. It's no in-between, right? That's why it's so great to see Randle kind of stepping back with 18-footers and being
mid-range.
Able to – yeah, mid-range.
Yep.
You know, mid-range – I mean, it used to be that's all the Knicks would attempt, but that's because they had no three-point shooters. But we passed that,
Be
though,
careful.
Right?
We've
evolved. And,
let me
you know,
enjoy
I think, you know, him having appreciation for that, maybe he understands that he needs to do more. And maybe, you know, he will grow that game. And eventually, you know, LeBron wasn't a complete player when he first got in. And maybe he can add that to his game, mid-range game. And his shot chart won't look like he's in layup line for warm-ups. You know what I'm saying?
It's forever. It is amazing about how every shot he takes is in the restricted area. At least all of his makes are in the restricted area. But you know what else, too, because of that? He is, and I couldn't believe this stat. 538 had this. He is the most blocked player.
Yeah.
Since Abdul Rahim, like back in 97.
Get that out of here.
Like you have to go that far
so
back.
So he's a dunk on you, you pin it against the
glass.
Right,
exactly. Like two a game, he gets blocked.
Because he's not that tall.
Right, and he's also, obviously everything's at the rim, but still. All right, so last but not least, here's a hot take for you that I don't know if maybe some people might agree with it, but when I hear it, I cringe a little bit because it's hard to believe. But it's PJ Carlesimo saying it, so he's a coach. He knows what he's looking at. So the Nets yesterday lose to the Heat. It was a close game, though. Now, they lose. Again, no James Harden. Kevin Durant doesn't play later. He gets hurt, and he doesn't return. Now he's going to be out, and we'll see how long he'll be out for. Is they're going to give him an MRI on that thigh. But still, the Nets lose. But they're 38-19. They haven't had their big three together only more than seven games. None of them have played at all together since February 13th. It's been that long. Yet they still keep winning, and they still look like that team that when they are whole, they could be dangerous. Right. Their supporting cast is better than advertised. But they're in second place right now by a game and a half behind the Sixers in the East. And PJ Carlesimo said something really interesting about, and this was on primetime yesterday on ESPN Radio last night. And what he said about the Nets, when you talk about, would you put your money down? Who would you put your money down in the East? And this is what he said about the Nets.
Those three guys have had so few minutes together. I don't care how experienced they are. I don't care how great they've played. It's not the same advantage as playing, you know, a team that has been together the entire year. So I'd be concerned. Can they overcome it? Yes. Can they win the whole thing? Yeah. Could they? I mean, would I be shocked if they won the whole thing? No. But I'm not. I wouldn't pick them. I just think that's too much to overcome. Lack of cohesion. That lack of having dealt with a lot of different situations that they could be confronted with in the playoffs.
So he wouldn't be surprised if they win, but he wouldn't pick them to win, and he bases it on the fact that they haven't played together. So as we finish audio files, I ask the question, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. If you were told, put your money down on the Nets or the field in the East to get to the NBA Finals, who would you pick? Because I'll tell you what, at full strength, it's an easy decision. But the question is, will they ever be at full strength? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll finish with your calls and Kyrie's reaction to KD's injury coming up next. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Bart and Hahn.
Come on, son.
Let's
that's
do
how,
it.
That's how we feeling?
Let's do it.
It's 70 degrees out. That's how we feeling?
Yeah, man.
Oh.
Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott.
I can't even go that high. My voice don't go that high. You're my favorite girl. Jake Paul lays out another bomb, man. When he fights somebody for real. But he's fighting a dude that's not even.
Well, he's not a boxer.
But did you see how fat he was?
But can you just at least. You might not like him as a person, but can you admit that he could throw a punch? Like, he's got a heavy fist.
But what I'm saying at this point, he's a professional. Fight a professional boxer.
Well, that's coming.
Quit fighting all these other people.
That's coming. That's definitely coming.
Like, I want to fight a pit bull too. Don't fight nobody weak. I want to fight somebody that's going to hit you back. See, but his people.
But he can only fight who's willing to fight him, right? Like, it's got to get to that point where he starts getting into like real.
The thing is, what Triller is doing with the $2 million perks,
mm-hmm.
like they're like, man, I can go fight this dude to get $2 million instead of fighting somebody that can really punch me back. Like, okay, I'm good with that.
Although this guy can punch back. Like, I'm sorry,
he can punch back, but
that's
don't know.
A heavy punch.
But he don't know. I mean, he fight a tomato can. Him and Nate Robinson. He does have skills. But listen, I put 50 Cent against him. I bet you 50 Cent knock his ass smooth out.
Mm.
And I'll put
50 anytime you want to chime in on that.
I'll put $1 million on it.
All right.
50's a Golden Glove champion.
Okay.
50 ain't no, like, people like thinking like, oh, yeah, he talk all this stuff. Run up on 50. Run up on him. You better check his resume. He's a Golden Glove champion.
Right.
He was a boxer. That's why Floyd be talking stuff, but he keep it at a certain thing when he be making fun of Floyd telling him to read Dr. Seuss.
Mm-hmm. All right, you put it out there. Let's see if it gets somewhere. Meanwhile, I got to say this. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hunt Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. You know what else we're brought by, speaking of?
Who that?
Mortal Kombat.
Get over it. Yo, you know what? I went to the movie theater thinking it was out. It ain't out.
Oh, no, no, no. Yeah, no. See it in theaters on HBO Max this Friday.
Yeah, I'm going to the theater.
Rated R.
I got to go to the theater.
That's one might want to see that in a theater, too. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So Kevin Durant has the thigh contusion or something. They're getting a little MRI on it just to see the severity of it. I imagine, though, they'll probably once again be very extra cautious with him as they've been with James Harden, as they should. I'd have no problem with this, honestly. What are they playing for? Yeah. We know what they're playing for. They're playing for the ring. Yeah. So for them, just get right there by the postseason. And that's the but yet, you heard P.J. Carlisimo say, I'm not picking them, but I wouldn't be surprised. But I ask you, out of the teams in the East, you got to take the Nets or the field. Which way are you going? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's go to Jay in Florida. Jay?
What's good, guys, man? Hey, listen, I was thinking about it, man. Look, I'm definitely taking the Nets because here's the thing. The teams that would be the biggest threat to the Nets in the East, in my mind, Philly, Miami, and Milwaukee. Milwaukee, I've never been sold on them. Mm. And Philly and Miami, they have similar issues. They got players that are hurt. I'm not trusting Embiid. I'm not trusting Simmons. Oladipo, he's out with Miami. Butler's hurt. So if you factor all that in, I'm going to go with the Nets because I feel like they're the strongest competition. They got issues too.
But Jay, I like it. And I was just going to add to that, who do you trust in a big shot in the final 2 minutes when they're playing the Bucks and the Sixers?
You got three of them. You got three
people.
You got
three options.
And Joe Harris, I trust him too.
That's a good point.
But what I love about, they're hurt, and I know we got to give it to the call, it's the fact that all their supporting players have got real minutes. So when you get in the game, you don't have to tax your stars because you got real guys that can put up real buckets.
Who's also gotten some wins for you. Yeah, they got some confidence out of
that group. So you got Bruce Brown has been a revelation, what he's able to do in pick and roll when they want to play small. You know, you look at what Joe Harris
has been able to do. Landry Shamet had himself a game
yesterday. Landry Shamet, that's what I'm saying. So they go 10 deep, man. They 10 deep.
They believe in themselves too. Rob in Chattanooga. Rob.
Come on, Rob. We got 50
Nets
seconds.
Nets of the field.
Yeah, this one's easy. I can't believe y'all even had this question, and I can't believe y'all are on the Nets like that. It's easily the field. You got to believe a team is what they show you they are. You know, this is just like all those teams that we see and we think they're going to make it to the championship because they got all this talent, but they can't get it together, and you keep thinking they're going to get it together.
They lost.
Kevin Durant's not healthy. Kyrie gets bored. James Harden, we've seen what he does in the playoffs.
They ain't going to get bored in the playoffs. They ain't going to get bored in the playoffs. They're not going to get bored in the playoffs.
No, this will definitely be the time where that's why I feel like you've got to absolutely.
And thigh contusion, bro, that's 2-3 days with ice. And he'll come back with the Carmelo. He'll come back with the Carmelo football pants with the pads on the thigh, the calf, and the hamstring.
I'm telling you, I would not sleep on this team. Not at all. If you had to pick one, I'm telling you.
I mean, Jeff Green can put up buckets. Hard.
But the Knicks have won 6 in a row, baby. We'll see
Attica!
You tomorrow.
I'll holla.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.